my plan for songs didn't go as well as I had expected. I was pretty sick yesterday. And I just want to thank the Lord because, you know, I was kind of bummed. I had plans and they just didn't work out. It must have just been my will, but I really struggled yesterday. I did not feel well. I wanted to go shopping and go out to eat with my sister and all kinds of stuff. And just, I ended up taking a nap, taking some Advil, and praise God, he woke me up after about a 45-minute nap with the message. And I got that all together, and it was pretty good. After that, I felt better. Anyway, today is Sunday, March 2nd. We have made it through February. And we still got a little bit to go before the weather gets warmer. I think, are we done with the snow today? Are we supposed to get another band? Well, good. At least we didn't get as much as I thought we were going to. Praise God for that. Today is Sunday, March 2nd. Our message today is called A Closer Walk. And it was so funny because when I sat down to pray and to study, the Lord gave me the message. And a lot of times it happens this way. God moves in my heart and I just start typing on my computer. And then I go back and I fill in the scripture. And that's what happened last night. And I didn't really have a title for today's message until I was done. So it was pretty good. I like it when the Lord does that. It helps me to know that I'm doing what he wants me to do. Because at least that's the way I feel. Because the things that are given just flow. They just flow and they come very easily. Oh, and hopefully this message will help us today. A closer walk. That's the reason for our tithe song today. The first commandment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Have no other gods before me is actually the way the first commandment is written. But a very powerful commandment given to us comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. His righteousness. We are called to seek God first in everything that we do, to follow his ways, his word, and know that when we do this, all things shall be added unto us. All things, not part of them, not some of them, not on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, not on just Sundays, but all things, all the time, when we put God first. Now, we know this is what we're supposed to do. We seek to do this, but it's not always an easy task. We all know that the devil is good at what he does. We all know that he seeks to destroy us and draw us away from God, but we strive. We try to draw close to him, spend time in the word, and receive strength from the Lord. One thing that maybe might help us, for us to understand and for us to remember, a few things. We must understand that scripture tells us that not all of those who cry, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 7, that scripture is quoted at verse 21, not everyone who says to me, this is Christ speaking, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. It's not those that just cry out to God. It is not just the hearers and the seers, but the doers. Those that actually do as God commands. Those are the ones that enter into heaven. We also need to remember and understand that not everybody is called to be a child of God. In John 8, starting at verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Verse 44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. I like the way it reads in King James. It says he was a liar from the beginning. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We say this at work all the time. Ooh, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. It's from scripture. But there are those that will not be or are not children of God. They are children of the devil. Now understand that we are all God's creatures. We are all created by him, but we are not all necessarily his children. God's children are specific people. It's a, that title is reserved for a specific group, and those are the ones that have been redeemed. Since we are all sinners, we are all not his children. Only those that trust Christ and turn away from their sinful desires, those that follow him are children of God. You have to follow Christ. You have to repent and do and turn away from your sin, turn away from this world to become and be called a child of God, to be included in that. Now, we know that in this world, there will be those that will not do that. There will be those that refuse. There will be those that continue to live their life in their own will according to this world. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately, depends on how you look at it. It's still going to be our desire to serve God and help as many lost souls as possible. We seek to do what we can for God, right? After all, are we not commanded to go into the world? In Mark 16, the word tells us, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But don't forget what verse 16 says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yes, we are called to go into the world and bring the good news of Christ to those that we come in contact with. But realize that it is only those that believe that will be saved. And those that don't are the ones that will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are those group of people. Fortunately for us, we don't want it to be anybody in our family, anybody in our friends, of our any of those that we call friends. We want to have as many with us as we can. And that's okay, because it's not up to us to decide. It's not up to us to know who shall be called the child of God and who shall not. That's not our decision. So because of that, and keeping all these things in mind, we have to understand and we have to realize one important suggestion in Scripture, and it comes from Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me to their sin and let nothing come between us and our relationship with God. Nothing should come between us and our relationship with him. We're called to put him first. Well, what about the instruction to go and proclaim the gospel? He's leading us. Christ is leading us out of a life of sin, away from those that try to come between us and him. Even a relationship between a husband and a wife is not supposed to come between a person and God. It's not supposed to come between you and God. But in our never-ending attempt to save as many friends and family as possible, we do the exact opposite. We allow things or even people to come between us and God. We allow many distractions of this world to keep us so occupied that we neglect our worship or our communion with him. We allow the thoughts and bad actions of others to lead us into disobedience with God. Be it through anger, discouragement, lust, greed, envy, you name it, our sin flares up and leads us away from God. Many times due to a situation or a circumstance, be it an argument, an obligation, or a responsibility, we are led to do or say something that we know is wrong, something that we would rather not do, but yet we do it. That's the battle of our flesh and our sin. Many times we don't even see how our actions have allowed us and led us away from God to be disobedient to him. And then there are those times where we choose to blame it on others, as if we have no control over ourselves, our words, or our actions. Obligation and responsibility is an easy tool used to bring us away from God. How many people do you know won't come to church because they have something else going on? There's something that they are putting before the Lord, their relationship with God. All kinds of things. All kinds of things of this world. Christ reminds us that no matter what we think may be important, no matter what we think that we need to do, no matter what we think our responsibilities are, if we seek a better life, we are to put him first. and leave those that are dead in their trespasses alone. Let the dead bury the dead. Let someone else who is dead in their sin take care of that one that's dead in their sin. This message was originally given to me a couple years ago by somebody that was struggling, wanting to get to church, but every come Sunday morning, her disobedient adult children always had something going on that kept her from getting to church. And that was my comment to her. That was what God put on my heart to tell her. Let the dead bury the dead. Let them go. You get to church. Get with God. No matter what we think may be important, we have to remember that our responsibility is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it should be our desire to draw closer to Him. We have to remember that only God can save the lost. Only Christ can reach those sinners. Only Christ can resurrect those that are so dead in their transgressions. It has to be by His mighty hand. If it is His will to do so, it'll be done in His way and in His time. It's up to Him, not us. Now, yeah, we can bring the good news of the word to as many as we can. But we also have to remember that there will be those that just will not receive it. And so then is a warning given as well in Matthew 7. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may be trampled. They're pregnant. Well, how could she conceive if she hadn't been with a man? But it was because of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. And he took Mary away. We also read in Matthew chapter 2 where it talks about the wise men visiting baby Jesus. After the birth of Christ, the Magi went to King Herod and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of Jews?" For they had seen a star in the east and came to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Herod insisted, and he issued a decree for the sons born around the same time as Christ should perish, but didn't tell the Magi. Instead, he asked them to return and let him know where they found him, where they found the baby Jesus. So that he could have him killed. The Magi headed to Bethlehem, being guided by the star in the east. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were warned in a dream not to go back to see Herod, so they returned to their country by a different way. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. One of the greatest moments in history, in the history of the world, ever told was fulfilled by the birth of Christ. It was foretold in Isaiah 7. Keep in mind, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Christ was born in the New Testament. So here we have the fulfilling of God's word. I love the verses in Isaiah, which is actually our key scripture, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment, with his justice from henceforth even more. The zeal of the Lord will host of hosts will perform this. I love that verse. For unto you born in this city of David, a child is born, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. These Bible verses reveal that God has given the greatest gift to us in the world. There were shepherds in the country, abiding by the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone around about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and shall be to all people, for unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's in Luke 2. The funny thing about the Christmas story, it doesn't start in one spot and go all the way through. You find in different areas of the Bible where it talks about the shepherds, where it talks about the wise men, where it's foretold in the Old Testament. A lot of people like to use the Bible against anything that we know, anything within this world. They like to discredit the Bible. But in these scriptures, we can see that the Bible proves itself. And I know comments have been made, why does it jump around? Denise's husband. Well, this is why. To give us the assurance that it's true. You know, there are historical facts in scripture that can be verified in the history books. And many people don't think about that. I've been told, said to me before, that the Bible is a book written by man for comfort. Those would be those that don't believe. But I say to you, how can you explain half the things in your life without believing in God? When you think about his love and all the things that come into your life and the things that are that happen, how else do you explain it? Coincidence? Karma? Some things can't be explained. You have to trust and believe that it's by a higher power. There's something leading and guiding us, making plans for our future, planning out our lives, directing us in his ways. The word that we've read today, just so far, tells us how these plans were put into place 2014 years or 13 years ago, and however many days. That this is by God's hand that these things are done. He sent his son to be with us, born of the flesh. A lot of people call him the second Adam. This is the gift that we are given. The greatest gift given to the world. And that by receiving that gift, that is how that act and that process alone is how we are saved. By that act and that gift that is given, that is how we receive eternal life. It's by that act alone, through the love that God has for us. He would rather that we not perish. The word says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Without his birth, there would be no death. And without his death, there would be no redemption for our sins. He had to come first. He had to be born in the flesh that he may die and be resurrected. And all these stories are mentioned in Scripture in different parts of the Gospels. Written in the Old Testament, and Isaiah foretold his coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have part of the Christmas story. And, you know, you have to put them together to get the whole thing. To understand about the wise men and understand about the shepherds and how all that came together.